Well, hey, my friends, and welcome back once again. Another day at the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I feel like we're an information factory over here, constantly just slinging it out every single day. I do. It doesn't stop. We constantly are bringing you guys updated health news. Got a lot of stuff we're going to cover today, including the benefits of what collagen and vitamin C do for your skin and your overall health, and a whole lot of other topics. As you guys know, we bring you pretty much everything. All the stuff that no one wants to talk about either.
Why do we do that?
I don't know. You do it a lot, but then I do it after you do it.
Well, you know, the problem is that there's certain... No, it's like this.
There's certain stuff.
Okay. In this world, there's a giant 12-foot-tall pink monkey that's a pedophile.
That's a visual.
Yeah. And he's sitting in the room.
That's when the M107 comes in handy. Yeah,
not with us, but, you know, with most people.
Yeah.
But they're wondering why things keep going wrong in their lives, and it's this pink monkey keeps jumping in the middle of everything. But you can't talk about the pink monkey.
Can't bring him up?
No, you have to pretend like he doesn't exist.
Not my monkey, not my circus.
Yeah, he's over there slinging poop, you know? And so the problem is that you're going, hi, poop on us again. Why don't you just get rid of the monkey?
Just shoot the monkey.
Or expose the monkey. Or gag the monkey. Or tie him up and put him in the corner, monkey.
But, send him to the zoo.
But no, no, he just doesn't exist. The monkey's not there.
We don't talk about him.
We don't talk about the monkey. So all of these things that are happening just because of the monkey, but we can't talk about the monkey because it's politically incorrect or it's not appropriate. And so then that's the problem. And the problem is there's not just one pink monkey. There's a bunch of them. Okay. But nobody wants to mention them because they're protected. Because, you know, the algorithms.
Oh, the protected monkeys.
Yeah, they are.
Because that one big monkey nobody's allowed to talk about over that one place in the world.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, it goes beyond that. It goes back to the ancient Canaanite religions. The sacrifice of humans. I was talking to Mancow yesterday, and we were talking about how many people out here on this planet that are just, you know, completely and totally evil. But you can't talk about that. And if you do talk about it, they ridicule you. They say, oh, you can't talk about that. You know, David Icke got himself eviscerated, you know, when he started talking about the reptilian aliens.
Yeah.
I told my friend who knew Ike, I said, well, if he just talked about them as fallen angels, it'd be a lot more palatable.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know what they look like.
And I think for the most part, the general population, especially when it comes to like health, nutrition, and overall topics in the world, you know, the people that don't want to listen, that don't want to make changes, they kind of fall into three categories. You either have lazy, arrogant, or stupid. You really do, because that's the one that refused to change it. So you got people that are stupid. That's actually really rare. That's like 5% of the population. They generally need help. They have an issue. Then you have arrogant, where they just – that's where most people fall. They want to pretend that it's not happening. They want to pretend that they're not going to address it, and they want to pretend that they know something better when all the information's in their face. They want to have research study after research study slap them and say aluminum and thimerosal is directly linked to autism in young kids. 76 vaccinations is probably not the healthiest way to raise a child. Maybe these things are linking to, you know, issues with, you know, ear infections and tonsils and adenoids.
And there's one more thing, misinformed.
Right.
Because a lot of people have been given the lie and they've believed the lie.
But you remember, 2025 now, too. You got to remember that. You could talk to some people, and here's the problem that I have with that argument for them. You have the same people that'll sit there and they'll tell you every single game and every play and every score of their favorite football league for the last 20 years.
Tell you the most valuable player in 1960s playoffs.
They're not uninformed. They're very educated on that topic. But then you bring up something like the history of World War II, or you bring up something vaccines, and they go, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know anything about that. Well, that kind of comes down to the lazy part at that point. They just don't want to change. They don't want to address it. They want to stay misinformed to keep their head in the sand.
And it's easier.
It's easier, but in 2025, that luxury is gone. You can't play that game
I've got
anymore.
A friend of mine who's a former airborne ranger.
Yeah.
And every time I try to talk to him about certain issues, oh, it's not true. I talked about vaccines. Not true. And I'm like, I can send you the articles. Not true. And he's a good friend.
Yeah.
But that's his mindset, because he's had so many vaccines, he can't believe that he's done that to himself or the military did that to him.
Well, one of my best friends is a retired airborne ranger. He's on the complete opposite end of that.
Oh, yeah.
Because he went and did everything and, you know, did contracts with GRS and finally said, this is the most corrupt country I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
And he's speaking about the United States.
Yeah.
And so, again, I think it depends on... At some point in time, if you want to live in that normalcy bias, or you want to finally accept it.
Well, a lot of times, let's pick on, I know this pastor's son.
this dude. And the pastor was really aware of vaccines and kept him from getting vaccinated.
Yeah.
And basically told him how bad the vaccines were and never let him get vaccinated all the way through high school. Well, he goes off to a Bible college.
He probably stayed pretty healthy.
He did.
Yeah.
He goes off to a Bible college, and as soon as he gets to the Bible college, he takes all the vaccines.
Of course he did.
No, just to prove to his dad he could do whatever he wanted to.
At that point, why are you taking... The whole point of taking that...
Well, because they ask him what his vaccine record was at college.
Oh, so they want to get him up to date on everything?
He did. And the crazy part about it is there are certain people like that. They're contrary.
Right. They want to be opposite. That goes into the arrogant category.
You tell them, you need to eat so you can gain some weight so you can get bigger. I don't want to eat. You need to work out so you get bigger so you can gain some weight. I don't want to work out. Would you like some hot pizza? No, I want cold pizza.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you date some girls? No, I like guys.
That's true, I guess. Yeah.
No. They're contrary. So what they do,
everything's always contrary.
So they set their life up. If they say something to you that's unbelievably insulting, it's, you misunderstood me. You know, they can never accept anything. And so this pastor's kid, it was funny, he ended up basically wanting to vaccinate his baby when it was born.
Yeah.
And so the pastor called me up in panic. He said, can you please help me with this? And I said, yeah, what are you going to do? He says, can you send him some literature on how bad vaccines are? I said, yeah. So I sent him 300.
I remember that.
300 separate vaccine.
He falls into the arrogant category and the contrary category.
Well, and the stupid category.
I don't think he's necessarily stupid. When I'm saying stupid, I'm talking stupid. He's knowingly being arrogant. He's knowingly being stupid. Intentionally,
I'm sorry,
wanting to be stupid.
No, he's stupid, and so because this he's doing this to his baby.
That's true.
And so
you still be stupid and arrogant at the same time.
So then I find out it's his wife. Okay, this boy's a meow boy.
Oh yeah,
meow. He's a kitty boy.
Oh, mama tells everybody what everybody's going to do in the house.
He's a meow boy, and so mama said we're vaccinating the baby. So
yes, master. Yeah. Yes, master.
Let me call it, tell me to go crawl in the corner and urinate on myself, and I'll do that too. Just let me be your little slave. No, I'm sorry, I'm sick of it. And so I sent him 300 articles.
Yeah.
And he calls me back. Or I call him up, I can't remember, it's been so many years ago now. And he goes, do you have more articles?
Yeah. Like, boy, I know you didn't just read 300 clinical trials.
That's what I told him.
Yeah.
And I said, you haven't even read the 300. I said, I need more. I said, no, you don't.
Yeah.
Now you're just being stupid.
Yeah, he's being contrary.
And contrary.
Yep.
And I said, now you're allowing your wife, meow, to do that to you. And I said, what is wrong with you? And it was unbelievable. And then he ended up vaccinating the kid. And, you know, and I've seen it repeatedly. And see, this is why I say to you, you know, in triplicate now, in multiple carbon copies. Most of you don't even know what a carbon copy is anymore.
I do.
Yeah.
I remember in the office back in the day.
But here's the deal. Before you get married, before you start dating seriously, you need to have a sit-down, come-to-Jesus meeting with the person that you're going to be dating. If that person says, we're going to do all 76 vaccines in that little meeting, you need to go, well, I don't want to do that.
Well, and it comes out, and I like my high fructose corn syrup, and I like my Coca-Cola, and I want it in the house every single day, and I want to drink and live on this stuff all day long.
Well, yeah, I know people that have had problems with weight, and they end up even having some, you know, gastric bypass surgery, and if they don't change their diet, they don't lose
it.
It goes right back.
Same thing with the Ozempic. And this ties into, I want to cover this now. Ozempic study just comes out tying into this. Patients using GLP-1 drugs are now reporting an enormous surge in dental decay, gum disease, and tooth loss. Listen to this. More than 13.5 million people now using GLP injections like Ozempic. Up from 450,000 just a few years back.
Wow.
Says patients using Ozempic are reporting rapid tooth decay now, bleeding gums, and dental infections. They said reduced saliva, increased stomach acid are two known side effects. It sets the stage for bacterial overgrowth, acid erosion, bad breath, and irreversible enamel loss. Listen, this is the part that I've tried to explain to people. Weight loss from GLP drugs include bone and muscle mass, not just fat, putting you at higher risk for fractures, osteoporosis, and long-term structural damage. The oral bacteria triggered by Ozempic, such as gingivitis, are linked not just to gum disease, but heart disease, pneumonia, and even Alzheimer's.
Gift that keeps on giving.
Gift that keeps on giving. And this is the part, is they're kind of beware of Ozempic teeth now.
And look at this. Much like the infamous Ozempic face, this refers to the oral symptoms, I mean, I tell you, the Azempka face is horrible looking. It's like you're like, you know, down a deathbed.
It's worse than like bodybuilding contest prep because you lose all your muscle in your face too. Mm-hmm. It's like you got this skin over your bone.
Well, and this is what happens with people when they lose a bunch of weight. So now here's a question I've got to ask everybody. You know, and I'm going to start back. Let's start back in high school. You know, you're in high school and you're a dude and you weigh 180 pounds. You're in high school and you're a lady and you weigh 120 pounds. Okay, that's about your ideal weight. That's now you've got maximum human growth hormone, maximum testosterone if you're a dude. Your body's functioning properly if you're a lady and you're ovulating and you're having secretions of luteinizing hormone and follicle stimulating hormone and estrogen and progesterone, and your body's on a cycle. And with men, it's the same thing. You have a certain amount of testosterone being produced. That's why if you start working out when you're 15 years old, it's like going on a steroid cycle.
And you'll also find if you start training in your teenage years, you'll almost always have that as your baseline, even if you fall off the wagon or stop training for a couple years when you get older.
No.
And if you go back to it, you'll have that muscle memory. It'll kick right back in.
Well, you know,
because you lock it in.
People are always asking me, you know, you stayed in such good shape and you maintain such muscle mass. And I don't use any hormone replacement therapy, by the way, at all. And my response is always, well, that's because my body was trained to do that's that right. When I was a child. You know, when I was 12, 13, 14 years old, I started working out. So I've been doing it forever, you know. I mean, hundreds of thousands of workouts, literally hundreds of thousands. And the thing that's amazing to you is this is how you maintain your lean muscle mass, you maintain your health. But then a person starts gaining a pound a month when they get out of high school. That's about the average, about a pound, about 10 pounds a year. But, you know, that means in about 10 years, they've gained about 120 pounds. And that's, you see that all the time when you go back to a class reunion.
Well, it can be a healthy pound a month or so if you're still training really hard out of high school. If you're in college sports, you're training.
Not 120 pounds.
Well, no, but there's a cap to it. You don't just continually grow.
If you gain 10 or 15 or 20 pounds of muscle weight.
Right, over the next few years. Yeah. But usually when you get to your mid-20s, you're kind of at your cap where you're going to be as far as if you're training pretty heavy at that point.
Yeah, and so then the problem is that, so then now you run up 120 pounds heavy.
Yeah.
So now you're a lady and now you don't weigh 120 more. Now you weigh 240. I knew this one lady and she wanted to get, you know, her stomach, you know, cut out part of it. It's called a, you know, gastric sleeve. And they told her you have to gain another 50 pounds to qualify for insurance.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so she gained another 50 pounds. She went from like 180 to 230. Now remember, she's about 5'2". So at 180, she was overweight, but she wasn't morbidly obese.
Right.
Well, you have to be morbidly obese in order to qualify for the surgery
insurance.
And their insurance. Well, she gained another 50 pounds. Well, then she had the surgery done, and then she only lost 60 pounds. So that means she lost a net of 10 pounds of where she would have been if she just lost down to 170.
Well, and that's why when we put it together, I tried to explain this to people. The GLP or the Ozempic products that a lot of people have been using, they were never designed nor were they ever approved as weight loss or fat loss because they're not fat loss. They're massive weight loss if they're used like that. They're diabetic drugs that maintain blood sugar. When you rub the cinnamon extract in the berberine, it does almost the same thing that Ozempic does in the body from a natural standpoint in maintaining blood sugar and helping reduce syndrome X.
And insulin.
That's why we have it on the sale. That's why I've used it for so many years for people. That's why I'll still use it sometimes on a summer contest prep when I need to shave down a couple pounds.
I take berberine every day.
It's amazing for the blood sugar.
Now, this is lady's credit. She's about 170. She said, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
I had this surgery. So she started going to the gym, and then she started starving herself and eating junk still.
Nah, that's no good.
No, listen to me. She dropped another 50, 60 pounds. The problem was she didn't keep the protein intake up.
That's a big factor.
So then the hair starts falling out, and then the face starts to sag. And all of that stuff happens because you're not eating properly.
Well, that's because you have a lack of collagen, mm-hmm. and you have a lack of protein in your diet.
Well,
collagen and protein are the building block cells in the body.
She started suffering with extreme brain fog. She wasn't herself anymore because now she starved her body down to 110 pounds. And now so now she's lost 130 pounds. And so now we're in a situation.
And that's what Ozempic does. It starves your body, basically. Yeah. That's why you start having muscle loss. You start having bone loss. You start having all these health issues.
Well, then I put her on the powder multiple. I gave her a can of it. I said, here, try this. And within 20 minutes, she felt different. And that's, you know, she's a firm believer in it. She's written several testimonial letters, and it's great. And she's a wonderful lady. The problem is, I asked her one time, I said, why wouldn't you just change your diet and do what you needed to do when you were 170, 180 pounds and bring yourself back down without having to have the massive gastric bypass done? And she says, I don't know. I didn't really think about it. And see, with the problem also with all of this stuff is they tell you it's easy. They lie.
They always lie.
No, they always lie. The doctors always lie because that's how they get paid. It's going to be easy for you to do this. It's not going to be a big deal. You're going to go ahead and lose weight so fast, it's going to be unbelievable. So it's going to be like putting butter in a microwave, and you're like, oh, it's great, right?
Great.
Okay? But they don't tell you all the Ozempic face side effects.
Exactly.
They don't tell you all the other. They don't tell you about all the lean muscle loss.
Losing teeth now and gum disease.
And that's the problem with Ozempic. And so the key is this. You say, well, it's just – but here's the thing. Even if you get on Ozempic, they tell you to change your diet. That's the amazing part, right?
Yeah.
And so, so people get on the Ozempic, they change their diet, and all of a sudden they start getting their insulin under control. They start losing weight, but they start losing lean muscle mass. They start losing bone. Now they're losing teeth. They lose the muscles in their face.
Well,
their
face starts to sag. And that's why I've told people, because people have asked me about it, you know, that have been morbidly obese. I've had emails people write on it. They say, I'm going on. And I've had some people say, I'm going on Ozempic. I'm 350 pounds or 400 pounds. I'm going on Ozempic. My doctor's prescribing. And I said, well, that's your choice. And they go, well, what can I take or what can I utilize supplement-wise? I said, A, you've got to be on the multiple powder. You've got to be on the collagen, and you've got to be on the vitamin C. You've got to be on the product. That's what it comes down to right here. It says collagen accounts for approximately 30% of the total protein in the human body. 30% collagen makes up, making the components of human skin, bones, muscles, tendon, ligaments, connective tissue, providing structure, strength, and support. When you start taking this Ozempic and you start reducing all this in your body and you don't put the raw nutrients back in, it's like sucking the gasoline out of a car and running the fuel all the way down to the fuel filter and sucking air into it. It just, everything starts to malfunction. Everything starts to collapse, and eventually the motor doesn't operate or function anymore. And that's exactly what it does when you're running on this stuff and you don't give your body the proper raw nutrients.
Over 10 million people taking this stuff.
Yeah. And so that's what I've tried to be. I don't recommend it. I highly recommend against it. But if it's something you're going to do, please take the proper supplements that's at least going to give your body the same thing with the Fit Food. I don't have a can right here. Yeah, I got a can over here. The Fit Food protein. You use this stuff every single day, multiple times a day, as a meal replacement shake with protein. You can throw the GHI cleanse in there to give yourself more nutrients. There's all kinds of stuff you can do if you're going to go that route, which I don't recommend, but that's between you and your doctor. I'm not going to give you medical advice. But make sure you're getting collagen and protein in your system.
Well, we had a young fellow come in the office just today. He's lost over 100 pounds.
Naturally.
And he looked great.
No Ozempic.
And his skin wasn't real saggy. No. He looked good.
Well, that's when he said that. He goes, I wanted to lose the weight slow so I didn't have so much skin sag. And he's been hammering the multiple powder, been hammering the protein, been hammering the collagen. He's lost over 100 pounds now. And it took him, I think he said it took about, what, year and a half, 2 years.
And that's the big problem that nobody talks about. When you're morbidly obese and you lose a bunch of weight,
quickly,
that skin.
Yeah.
Oh, that skin can't tighten up.
Skin's elastic, but it reaches a point when you go from this to this in a short period of time, it doesn't give it the ability. And then the problem is, too, if you're not running collagen, you're not running vitamin C with it, your body doesn't have the raw nutrients to maintain elasticity. And that's why it talks about here dietary approaches for collagen support. High-quality protein. The biggest thing to stack collagen with is protein. Eggs, meat. Beef, bison, chicken,
salmon,
fish,
oil. Yeah.
I mean, high quality fats like avocado oil, butter. You got to give yourself the raw fats too, because a lot of times you start getting deficient omega-3 fats when you're on these products.
I take our oil every single day.
Yep.
Three capsules a day.
It says right here, avoid three behaviors to slow aging and maintain healthy skin. Poor sleep quality, that's a big one to avoid.
Melatonin takes care of that.
Melatonin takes care of that.
And sleep like a baby kit.
And total rest, yep, within that. Deep fried foods.
Never, ever eat it. Never.
Massively inflammatory. You know, there's the other day, and I only ate a couple of them. I went to Five Guys, and they had the peanut oil and the french fries over there. And I don't eat fried food. And I had a couple french fries, and I'm not even going to lie. They were incredibly well. They taste amazing. But I still don't ever eat that stuff. And that was with peanut oil, not with soybean oil, not with canola oil. And that's a rarity. Maybe once in a blue moon, once in a year, I've tried some of those. But when you start eating, the problem is most people that eat deep-fried foods, it's not on a once-a-year basis. Mm-hmm. It's on a once-a-day basis.
I had one of my friends there. They ordered them Uber Eats.
Yeah.
And it showed up, and it was deep-fat fried cheese sticks.
Oh, my gosh.
No, it was.
That's about as bad as it gets.
And they offered me some, and I said, no, I'm going to pass. Well, you want to try one? I said, I don't know what it's cooked in. No. I don't know what kind of oil they use.
You don't even know what kind of cheese it is. I guarantee you it's super cheap.
Well, the biggest problem when you do stuff like that is that, you know, you're poisoning your colon, you're poisoning your gut, you're poisoning everything.
Poisoning your liver.
Yeah.
So
to me, sometimes things just aren't worth the effort to try to clean up after you do it. Now, let's look at the last one, UV damage.
UV damage.
I'm going to say this. This is important.
don't at me.
You guys, I had my face. I had a laser the other day on my skin, and that's why I got a burn on my face. This is all because I was a block mason helper back in college and high school, and I worked outside, and I did roofing and everything else, and I just got cooked.
I still am outside a lot.
Yeah.
I don't like sunscreen. That's my problem.
Well, I don't like sunscreen.
If I use any sunscreen, it's like zinc oxide.
Well, I wear zinc oxide.
I refuse to use it. When you look at the active ingredients, if you actually take
don't
a step.
Don't ever put PABA in your body.
And you start looking at the ingredients, a lot of these spray sunscreens, just these basic ones on the market that everybody uses all the time. You look at the paragraph of ingredients, you'll notice you can't pronounce 90% of the ingredients on it.
And zinc is good. But
that's the problem.
But now what I do is I wear a hat. I have a hat.
Like, you got your Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones.
I'm about to get you a bullwhip too. You walk around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jones at all.
What's next?
And that's the two ties into what I was talking about with skin. Since we're on that topic today, vitamin C may reactivate genes for skin renewal, preventing
make your
thin
skin
skinning.
Make your skin thicker. Yeah.
Rejuvenates aging skin by switching a dormant gene involved in cell renewal. DNA discovery. This is pretty cool. It says vitamin C is not merely an antioxidant; it plays a critical role in regulating genes involved in skin regeneration. Scientists identified more than 10,000 areas in DNA that become less methylated after vitamin C treatment, resulting in 75-fold increase in activity of 12 key genes involved in cell growth.
Vitamin C does everything, doesn't it?
Gosh, dude. Well, here's the issue that I have with it. Isn't you got the dietary guidelines that come out? You need 80 milligrams
of
vitamin C.
To prevent scurvy.
That's to prevent scurvy and not die.
Have your teeth full.
That's the dosage. It's not die. You need 80 milligrams.
Well, a lot of the research seems to indicate, I say seems, that the primary cause of leukemia is a vitamin C deficiency and a subclinical diagnosis of scurvy. Just thought I'd mention that.
Yes.
In the Gerson Cancer Therapy Center back in the 30s, like 1930, they were doing all kinds of research and using vitamin C intravenously to treat leukemia with tremendous results. I'm not making any claims at all. That was from that research that I read from almost 100 years ago.
This Journal of Investigative Dermatology researchers use specialized lab-grown skin models that closely mimic human skin. Researchers applied vitamin C at levels similar to those naturally found in the blood. Just after 7 days, the inner layers of skin cells became noticeably thicker. By the second week, the results were even more pronounced. The inner layer was even thicker and the outer layer was thinner, so suggesting more skin cells were dividing and growing. This confirmed that more cells show a marker called Ki-67, which indicates active cell division.
You know what's interesting? You know, Linus Pauling, way back when, he got multiple Nobel Prizes for vitamin C.
Vitamin C, yep.
You know, and he got, he's like 60 years old, he got this vitamin C Nobel Prize, and all the scientists around the world, many of them, probably 80%, oh, he's a quack, he's a this, he's that, he's an idiot, blah, 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 blah. And he's ignored them. He was taking 10,000 milligrams of C a day.
High dosage.
And when I read that, I thought, that's a lot of C.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I'm taking 6,000-7,000 milligrams now.
Well, and a lot of times, everybody, to that dosage, you've got to build up to that dosage.
Or you get diarrhea.
You get diarrhea. And also, too, the thing that I've found, also like the powder C or the capsule vitamin C antioxidants, if you take smaller doses throughout the day with food, you get better absorption rate and you get less effects like that from it. Because if you go in and you take 1,000 milligrams or 2,000 milligrams 2 to 3 times a day, your body has a much easier ability to maintain high blood plasma levels of it, and it's easier for your body to maintain it.
That's one of the only supplements I take twice a day. Yeah. I take it morning and evening.
Three times a day is actually one of those products that has benefits, going from one to two is big,
yeah,
two to three.
I know, but sometimes it's not.
And I know
home.
It's hard, yeah.
But Linus Pauling, he lives to be almost 100 years old. So yeah. All the people that befooed him 40 years earlier, they were all dead. I'm just letting you know. All the detractors from him were gone. So then he won another Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
That's how important vitamin C is. If you find different clinics saying that they can use it in vitamin C, you know, in cancer treatment, it helps the skin, helps reduce the aging, why would you not take it? That goes back to the guy getting the 300 articles with autism.
Yeah.
And not reading them.
Arrogance.
And doing it, being a meow boy. Yeah. You know, and that's the problem that you run into. You say, well, this can't be that bad. People are so funny. They'll go out and spend $30. You know, movies are $15 to $17 now for a ticket to go to a movie.
Oh, I know.
You can spend almost $40 going to the movies.
Easy.
No, it's ridiculous.
Especially you get the D-box seats that move.
Yeah,
in Jurassic Park film.
Well, yeah,
don't ask me how I know that.
Yeah, and then you go out and buy a boat that used to cost $20,000. Now they're $100,000, and you make all these payments on this boat that you wish you had never bought after you had it for a month. But yet you don't want to buy vitamin C, or you don't want to use a purple stick for the vitamin C in there, and also the antioxidant effect.
When it comes to boats and toys and all that stuff, you're going to go in there. Always, always, always do your research and look at the depreciation scale and a lot of stuff, whether it's trucks, cars, boats, any of that. So we talk about all the time. If you look at a boat, it's $100,000 new for 2025. Look and see your three-year spread, 24, 23, 22s. Look at what the 22 and 23s are trending for. If the 22 and 23s are trending for $30,000 to $40,000, you know guaranteed if you spend $100,000 on that boat in 2 years, you're going to lose $60,000.
Period.
So then what happens is then you find your floor. You look at your 22, 23, 21s, and you see where they hit. Well, even the 21s are still going for $30,000, $40,000. You know at that point you're pretty good if you buy a 22, 23 for around that $50,000, $40,000 mark. Its floor's not going to be much less than that, and your depreciation is going to be very little. It's very easy for me to figure out cars, trucks, boats, and look at the percentage scale on it. That's just the thing.
And before you buy a boat, here's the hint.
Do your research.
No. You have that boat inspected.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's with anything.
Yeah, I know.
We always talk about PPIs.
I have a friend of mine. His name's Richard. And I asked him, I said, because your kids are asking me to get a boat.
Oh, yeah.
And so I called him up this morning, and I asked him, I said, I need a cheap boat. He goes, oh, you want a cheap boat? I said, yeah. I said, can you get something like $4,000 or $5,000? He goes, well, yeah, you can.
Yeah, but
you
better
No. But you better make sure it has been inspected. I said, I'm not buying a boat until you inspect it.
Yeah. And you can't buy a good $4,000 or $5,000 boat anymore. That's more the big deal is, oh yeah, motor, no. The motor's gone way up. Way, way up.
Well, he said to buy outboards. He said, don't buy outboards. He said, transmissions are too expensive on the other ones. And basically, the best boat to get is going to be an outboard engine.
Oh, yeah. They're usually pretty good.
A lot of them are still two-stroke, but I think they've got rid of a lot of two-stroke outboards.
They did. Super pollutive in the water.
They are. All that oil,
everything. Yeah. That's I love two-strokes. I grew up racing dirt bikes, two-strokes. Love the power band on them. They're like a wide-open rabid dog you're trying to ride. But they're really pollutive.
I remember one time I bought an 18-foot HydroStream with a 325-horsepower Mod VPV Mercury engine on it.
Two-stroke.
Yeah, it had a 20-inch prop on it. It was unbelievable.
It's called the Toad.
We call it the Toad, and it was like $8,000.
That was back in the 90s.
But I remember it would throw a rooster tail 50 feet in the air, 200 feet behind the boat. The guy had it clocked at 93 miles an hour, the guy who had it before me.
Boat was wild.
The boat was dangerous.
It's two-stroke.
Oh, my gosh. But that thing he actually drilled holes in the cylinders and put extra fuel injectors into it to put more gas to it.
Well, that's the beauty of the two-stroke. You're not dealing with the whole valve system in it.
No.
Pour the fuel to it. As long as you get your mixture right.
Foot-shaped foot pedal on the floor. Didn't have one of these. It was like a gasoline pedal. Remember that? That thing was so fast. It was fun, but it was dangerous. The thing wanted to go airborne all the time because it had a balsa wood hull on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Real pretty, that metal flake bass boat red.
We called it the Toad.
The Toad.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Speaking of vehicles depreciation, this is another one now. Transportation Department makes DEI revisions in EV charging infrastructure funding rules. The requirements had originally planned to create opportunities for business-owned minorities to be able to put electric charging stations. I'm not going to get into all that. The formula program, which has been an absolute failure, allocated $5 billion to developing an interconnected network of fast chargers across the United States. The problem that they ran into with this, nothing got built. The reason why nothing got built is because $5 billion in building charging stations that are interconnected across the United States is literally like throwing pennies in a bucket and trying to become a millionaire. It didn't touch it. They had to dump $200 to $300 billion in this infrastructure. I remember one of the good dealerships we work with, Stingray Chevrolet, great Chevy dealership out of Plant City. They got forced by GM, if they were able to carry this whole line of EV cars years back, since like right beginning of COVID, I think it was 19 or 20, they came and said you have to have a minimum like 3 or 4 charging stations on the property so you can charge up all these electric just blocks that are going to be dead in 10 years. They had to go and spend like $1.5 million. They had to put a whole new extra substation in and run this trunk line. Now, the EVs just sit on the lot. They're trying to like give them away, 2-year one buy and leases. Give us like $5,000. You can have the car for 2 years. Just take it, please.
Well, yeah, it's awful. Oh, by the way, speaking of EVs, Elon Musk is officially now the most unpopular public figure in America.
Wow.
And you know what's interesting?
Well, you know what happened? He asked to audit
Fort Knox.
Yep. It's funny how he was on the side with the banker boys and they loved him and made him a billionaire. We should audit Fort Knox. Guess what now? It shows you how much control and power the media has, too. Mm-hmm. Think about that.
Well, the media is also owned by the Banker Boys.
That's my point.
You know, and what's funny about it is it's like that movie Gladiator, and I said this before.
Yeah.
They said that they were going to kill him. His name was Maximus.
Can't.
They said, no. They said, first, you must kill the name.
Ruin his name.
Because you can't. Because if you kill him with his name, you martyr him. Now he becomes a public figure that everybody's going to admire and follow. That's exactly what they did to Elon. He was basically running Doge. Everybody was all excited for it. All of a sudden, he went rogue and started to do what he wanted to do and didn't listen to Donald Trump anymore and then outed Donald Trump for being on Jeffrey Epstein's list.
Oof.
And all the pea soup hit the fan at once. And now he is officially the most unpopular public figure in America. And the sad part about it is that they did that to him was no reason to have done that.
Well, no. Yes, it was. Because he called out the central banks and asked where the gold is. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, we're on Doge right now. This is just a kind of a normal thing we should do, I don't know, every year. We haven't done it in, 50 years? We need to go to Fort Knox. We need to see how much gold's there. We need to audit the gold. You can't do that, Elon. That's not allowed. But we have all this gold there. We're running audits. We need to see how much cash flow. It's normal standard procedure. We haven't done it, I don't know, decades. Yeah, you can't go to Fort Knox. You're not allowed. Trump goes, we're going to go to Fort Knox. No, you're not. You're not. Yeah, I'm going to take Secret Service. We're going to go there. No, you're not. Then Elon shows up with a black eye and is suddenly fired quickly thereafter. Mm-hmm. He showed his eyes all bruised up. He said his son kneed him in the eye or something when they were wrestling. I'm like, that's kind
which
of,
is possible.
Which possible. I've got it in the face with Hunter for him with a grappling. But it was very odd time. And then 2 weeks later, all of a sudden, it's like gone. Nothing.
And by the way, fury after the Western Wall in Israel and Jerusalem, in Jerusalem, is defaced with Holocaust Gaza graffiti.
Oof.
So basically, it's they took dark. The Western Wall, which is supposed to be the base of the original Solomon's Temple, and they go there to pray. That's when they rock back and forth when they simulate sex with a demon god called Ein Sof and his little archangels, and you think, you got to be kidding me, Ted. What did you just say? When they rock back and forth, they're basically simulating a sex act according to Kabbalah and the Zohar. No, they're not. Okay. Just, why don't you look it up? You can call me and tell me I was right. And by the way,
don't send me emails. I was sending emails to him on that one. I don't want emails on that one.
Ask Dr. Ted B at yahoo.com.
There you go.
Okay? I'm caught up on those. I'm a couple days behind.
Are you caught up now?
Yeah, I got
good.
I have Rubens fix it for me.
Good.
Israel is beginning to choke on its own lies, is another article. The genocide is one nonstop insult to our intelligence. It's actually degrading at this point. The lies Israel and its supporters have to pretend to believe are getting so ridiculous. Supporting Israel now is an act of public humiliation and self-debasement. It's really well written. Netanyahu has confirmed reports that Israel plans extreme escalation in Gaza, which he has said, and which would entail the total military occupation of the entire enclave and the full ethnic cleansing and basically throwing out all the Palestinians, which the Israeli spin machine has termed voluntary migration. When you starve them and use machine guns to get the food and show them how they're supposed to walk, it has a tendency to make people run pretty quick. To be clear, anyone who says that the expulsion of Palestinians from Gaza would be voluntary is lying. Starving a population, deliberately making their land uninhabitable, exactly the same as forcing them out at gunpoint. Saying leave or you'll starve or you get shot is not meaningfully different than saying leave or I'll shoot you in the head. Israel's planned mass expulsion will be as forced as the involuntary as it is in recorded history. It's exactly what they did in 47. They went in there with machine guns and pushed them out to form Israel. President Trump has fully signed off on this move, washing his hands of the mass atrocities co-signing by telling the press that it's going to be pretty much up to Israel. This is what they're saying in activist post. Trump is lying. It's up to him. That's why more than 600 former senior Israeli security officials from Mossad and Shin Bet just sent Trump a letter urging him to compel Netanyahu to make peace in Gaza. They understand that the U.S. president has always had the power to end the Gaza Holocaust. Numerous Israeli insiders have said that the mass atrocity would not be possible without U.S. assistance. That's the truth. Trump could end all of this at any time and chooses not to, which makes him one of the most evil people in the world, according to this article. The whole genocide is powered by lies. Now, this is crazy. Listen to this. Netanyahu, remember, they shelled and bombed Gaza now for 2 years. They've destroyed everything. Netanyahu told Fox News that the horrifying aerial footage of the destruction of Gaza that we've been seeing is because every single building in Gaza was booby-trapped with explosives by Hamas. In other words, Hamas tore their own buildings down.
I can't have a response for that. They blew all of their own buildings across. Have you looked at the photos?
Netanyahu says, the reason you see flattened buildings is because Hamas booby traps every single building. So when we come up, we first have the population moved, even though Hamas tries to keep them in the combat zones. But after they move, and we have to start to move into neighborhoods that are now populated only by terrorists, they ignite the booby traps. So what you see, is us bringing in armored personnel carriers with a lot of explosives. Oh, so we have to detonate the explosives, which sets off all the booby traps, and the big buildings begin to collapse by themselves. We had nothing to do with it as a result of that. They're empty buildings.
I can't even listen to more of that. So was Hamas also in the Israeli tanks that were shelling the Catholic Church 2 weeks ago?
Oh, of course.
So Hamas snuck into the tanks and used the Israeli tanks to shoot the Catholic Church.
How about all the thousands and thousands of sorties they've flown into with air flight strikes, down strikes?
Or and the Lavender program.
And the artillery.
They admitted they got the Lavender AI drone program where they can do airstrikes with up to 100 civilian casualties, and it clears it for AI openings. With the Reaper drones.
And now the population in Israel, many people now are absolutely going nuts.
I saw this now. The vast bulk of Israelis
say no.
Don't want to do this anymore. They're done with it.
Well, here's the article.
Even the military.
It says, not in our name. Fury grows in Israel over Netanyahu's defiant bid to finish the job in Gaza. As Benjamin Netanyahu refuses to back down over military expansion to Gaza, hostages, families tell Beirut and Tel Aviv and Jerusalem why the government has got it wrong and call for an end to the suffering for Israelis and Palestinians. Israelis want peace. No, they don't. Not their government. It's like the United States. They're completely out of control with their government because they're being controlled by the international banking communities. I'm going to say that again. The Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan. Israel want to get out of Gaza. Most Israels do. This is not in our name. We are not our government. Israel must be stopped. This is what the people are saying about this in Israel now because they know the people are being starved. See, here's the big problem. A lot of Jews died in World War II in concentration camps, Austin.
Yeah.
They've used that for 70 years now as an example of what not to do when you treat a population and how you treat them if they're prisoners of war. Now, this group of people that are running Israel are doing the exact same thing that happened in World War II with the concentration camps. Here's the difference. The concentration camps in Germany, the rails and the highways were all completely carpet bombed, and they could not get food to the people in the concentration camps that were primarily slave labor, and they couldn't even feed their own population because of embargoes. This is what happened. This is not what's going on right now in Gaza, Austin.
No.
The people there are being prevented from getting food and aid from countries from all over the world and basically being controlled and starved out by Israel itself. There is no excuse. The ability to get the food to these groups of people has been there. Even that crazy girl, Greta Thunberg, whatever her name is,
yeah.
She had to go to a re-education facility when she went over to protest. I give her credit for that one. And, the sad part about all of it is when you stop and you look at this, you go, this is crazy. How in the world did we get like this? Well, the reason we got like this is because of the Scofield Reference Bible. And because Christians have blindly followed Israel now because they believe that that's how they're going to create the second coming of Jesus and how they're going to get to go to heaven and watch the big fight down here on this planet from the heavenly grandstands. They believe that. And you think, well, is that something that's biblical? No, it's not. It was done through dispensationalism, and it was pushed through Cyrus Scofield and Darby in the 1800s. And it was completely rejected by Darby. Nobody would follow him. He's a quack. He's a kook. And then all of a sudden, Scofield decided to push it again 100 years later, and he was funded by none other than Samuel Untermeyer, who was a huge hardcore Zionist who wanted the rebirth of the city of Israel in Jerusalem. That's who pushed it. He's the same one who blackmailed Woodrow Wilson to put Brandish on the Supreme Court and get the United States into World War I. He's the same guy, same Samuel Untermeyer. Same person who blackmailed Woodrow Wilson with all the stuff that infidelity he had done at Princeton University. It's this guy who basically did this, and he was a hardcore Marxist, and he worked very, very closely with Theodore Herzl, and all these people went together to form Israel. That's what it was all about. That's what the Balfour Declaration was all about at the end of World War I, to get the United States into the conflict, because the United States wanted nothing to do with World War I. And Austin, it goes on and on and on and on and on. And we see all this stuff. And we go, wait a minute. So fury is now growing in Israel from the people who live there over Netanyahu's defiant bid because they don't want to do this. Because now what's going to happen? Every time they go somewhere else other than Israel, Austin,
yeah.
And they find out they're Israeli, you guys are genocidists. You did this to those people in Gaza. They don't want to hear that.
Well, no, and the fact of the matter is, and you did that on, is when you got the, and this happened to a lot of us, you know, we've seen it when we've gone to Europe in certain places. You know, when you go, there's an American, a lot of people hate us.
No, they do.
They hate us. I mean, a lot of the operations that we did and the whole thing with Iraq, you go over the Middle East, they hate us.
Operation Gladio.
I mean, look what happened to Somalia in 1993, that whole thing. I mean, I was watching a documentary on that the other day with the whole Black Hawk Down, and they were talking about how the whole story that a lot of them said was, you know, all the Somalians, the militia went after Delta and went after the Rangers. The problem was that nobody ever talks about is that we were conducting all these doggone air raids trying to find that one militant leader over and over and over again. We're bombing these buildings and airstrifing these buildings, and finally they went in for that one operation. Of the October 3rd or whatever it was, the entire city descended upon them because they were so stinking mad. It was a fiasco. It was a nightmare.
I was in a little town up in the Swiss Alps called Gimmelwald.
Yeah.
Okay, beautiful little town. And Rick Steves had talked about it on the Travel Channel. And there was a guy named Ollie who was there. And he came out to talk to me. I knocked on his door because he was like a bed and breakfast there. There's only like 300 people in the whole city, right? And it's really nice. And what ended up happening, he said, he started blaming me for the United States. And I said, whoa. We don't vote for this stuff. These guys do whatever they want to do. And he said, well, and so I sent him several emails. They can tell me what I was right. But I never heard back from him. The problem is the same thing with these guys in Israel now. A lot of the people in Israel don't want this. They just want to live in peace.
A lot of them are good people. They just want to be left alone and live their life. Nobody voted for this either.
All this is going to do is cause massive, massive surge in anti-Semitism.
No, it is that.
That's all it's going to do.
That is a fact. And I mean, maybe that's Netanyahu's goal. So he can use that as the victim status. Everybody's mad at us.
Yeah.
Everybody's mad at us for no reason because we defended ourselves against Hamas. That'll be the story.
After he turned off the Iron Dome.
After he turned off the Iron Dome, after they carpet bombed. Now, also, to another conflict news. I'm curious about this one. It says now Trump has now ordered the armed forces to basically start engaging Latin American cartels, drug cartels. Now, this isn't going to be us going in and doing recon. We're going to be sending in direct action elements into Mexico going after these guys. Now, I don't know if it's going to be surgical. I don't know if we're going to send them MARSOC Raiders. That's going to be interesting if they let those guys loose. I don't know how they're doing this. They're not releasing anything on here. But essentially, they're sick of the Mexican cartel.
Well, no. What's happened is they've taken too big of a piece of the pie, Austin.
Yeah. And
the CIA's got to control the
drugs. I was just about to say what's probably happened here. This is just my opinion. This is theory. I can't prove any of this. I bet you more than likely the CIA has gotten pushed out with all these drug cartels because they got so big they don't want to work with the CIA and all those guys anymore. So they've kind of done their own thing. This happened to the Sinaloa cartel and stuff back then.
They talk about American made.
We're not going to deal with you anymore. We're going to do whatever we want to do. And all of a sudden it's like, really? You want to go to war with the United States? The problem is this is going to really mess up as far as Latino and American relations even further now. If we start sending MARSOC Raiders in or we start sending in Rangers into Mexico as direct action elements, this is going to get really dicey because you're going to have all these groups here in the United States that are MS-13 members, that are cartel members, that are here illegally, and you're going to start having retaliation.
Well, again, you got to look at it this way. If you're the biggest bully on the block.
Yeah.
I mean, if you weigh 300 pounds and you're 6 foot 8, the other day I was at the mall in Orlando, and I saw the largest human being I've ever seen. This dude was at least 7 foot 2.
Really?
And he's about 400 pounds, and he was muscled up.
Big boy.
and he was wearing a Rays shirt. Now, whether he was a ball player or not, I don't know. The guy was, it was almost unreal what he looked like.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, yeah, that'd be just fun to get in a fight with. That'd be great. You hit him as hard as you can. He looks at you like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, I got a fly in the ointment. What is wrong with you? Go away, you know?
Go away.
And he's a big black boy. I mean, big. Big black man, excuse me. You don't like it when I say boy. It's a big, huge black man. And I thought to myself, wow. So now if he walks in and he's carrying a big old club.
Yeah.
And I don't care where he goes.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody going to step up to him.
No.
Okay, here's the problem. We are that big bully.
Yeah.
We have a nuclear arsenal. We have MARSOC. We have all these other troops and contractors. We have the ability, because we spend $8 trillion a year
We have the biggest, best military, so we got to find a place to use it.
So we're going to go into Mexico now. What's Mexico going to do about it?
Nothing.
They can't do anything.
No, nothing.
Because we just walked in, and we're that giant who walked into the ball the other day. I should have talked to him. He's asking how tall he was. I was shocked at how big this guy was. And but he was a big, big man. The crazy part about all of it is that just because you're the biggest guy on the block with the biggest, you know, stick, does that give you the right
to go into a sovereign country and kill people.
Well, the biggest issue, the flip side of that is Mexico is refusing to get in fights with the cartel. The cartels are moving more and more fentanyl.
Well, that's because the cartels pay off the Mexican officials.
Right. And so what's happening is Mexico is refusing to address it, and we are having, and I've talked to law enforcement, this is not a joke, we are having some of the worst fentanyl issues we've ever had in the United States.
But the price
is getting worse every year.
But fentanyl, the price is down.
Well, yes, that's because we're getting it to everybody now.
Well,
supply and demand.
So therefore, you've got to dry up the supply.
What did they push to do next? We had a heroin issue. Then we had an OxyContin issue. What? Then went to fentanyl. There's nothing stronger than fentanyl. If you touch it, it kills you.
What did they say in that one movie, Sicario? They said we have about 20% of the population of the United States using drugs on a regular basis. Therefore, we need to control the distribution and who gets to get the drugs. And so, therefore, as long as this country wants to use the drugs, we're going to be part of it to control the supply and demand.
Yeah,
something like that.
That's what's the
CIA. And he was CIA.
Yeah.
And I thought myself, okay. And that all started in Southeast Asia,
right,
with Vietnam, when they looked at Chiang Kai-shek and they asked him, they said, why in the world do you have a million-man standing army and how do you pay for it?
Yep.
He goes, I sell opium to the peasants.
Yep.
And so, oh. So they, and then they brought it, first they brought it into Harlem to sell the drugs.
They talk about that movie in
Godfather.
Yeah, and also, too, that movie with Denzel Washington, yep, American Gangster. Mm-hmm. That goes into detail about that. That shows the caskets and everything in Vietnam.
Well, and the Godfather talks about how we're going to do the people in Harlem because,
yep,
they're soulless, you know, anyhow, and all the other stuff. But we're not going to do anything else. And the drugs start coming in through the CIA, through
the mafia,
organized crime. That's why if you read the book, the Operation Gladio, the unholy alliance between the CIA, the mafia, and the Vatican, you will awaken yourself as to what's really going on and why we are sending troops into Mexico.
Yeah.
This is a sovereign country, bud.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know the extent of what they're going to be sending in as far as armed forces, but as far as what they're saying, they are going to be direct action elements. They're not going to be sending guys down there to do, you know, basically defense. They're going to be down there doing raids, which is some extent, you know, I mean, some of these guys are animals. Some of these guys down in South America, they're straight barbaric. I mean, they're decapitating people, they're chainsawing people's arms off. They're sadistic individuals down there, too. And so the problem with when you're trying to deal with people like that, there's no reasoning with them. Does that ever make sense? You can't sit there and have a conversation.
They cut people's heads off and hang them upside down.
You got to stop chainsawing everybody that doesn't agree with you. This isn't okay. Why? For clear purpose. Why? I just told you it's not okay. But why?
The reprobate.
Yeah.
They really don't see it.
No, and so that's the problem. So some of these cartel guys, it's nothing for them to have killed 200, 300, 400, 500 people on a regular basis. So to them, they only understand sheer overwhelming superior firepower.
Do you remember that one movie, The Lord of War, with Nicolas Cage?
Oh, yeah.
It was one of the last good movies he actually did. But don't let your kids watch it. It's got some really graphic stuff in it.
It's a great movie, though.
But they've got this whole group of people living in tents.
Yeah.
Remember that? They were refugees.
Yeah.
And they were getting all of this armament to go in there and machine gun everybody in the tents.
Yeah.
And kill everybody, cut their arms and hack their back them up. Remember that?
Yeah.
And so this is the kind of stuff that goes on all over the world. We don't see it in the United States. Therefore, we don't believe it's real.
Yeah.
It's real. It happens. Because when people get to the point when they've completely given themselves over to Lucifer, which is what this is. This is a spiritual battle. They don't have a right and wrong switch anymore. They become psychopaths.
Yeah.
And to them, everything justifies. The means always justifies the end.
And that's why we're doing a military occupation in Haiti now. I mean, I talked to a buddy about it the other day, and he's handling all the air support for it. I mean, they're bringing M-134s on all the helicopters. I mean, they're doing full raids down in Haiti in the next couple months.
But again, who has to? The United States, again, is involved in policing the world.
The United States is paying for it. We're funding it. It's all contract. We're not sending military. We're sending all contractors down there. That's how we always get away with it. We're not sending U.S. military to Haiti. We're sending contractors. Academia is handling a lot of it down there. And so, but they're going to be doing full night raids all the time. But again, you're also dealing with people that eat other people. So how do you handle that from a barbarism standpoint when a country says we can't stop all the gang members from eating everybody? Can you send us help? What do you do?
Well, you know, you've got to deal with the Treaty of Westphalia. And the Treaty of Westphalia says that unless somebody asks you to come in and help them in the middle of the Civil War.
Which the Haiti military has done now.
Yeah,
they can't control them.
But the point is that why is it our responsibility? Why didn't Germany go in or France go in or England go in?
Because you just called a second ago. We got the biggest, baddest bully on the block with the best air defense, the best ground defense, the best everything. So
we've got B-1 bombers.
Yeah.
We've got all kinds
of
stuff.
We can do whatever we want.
We can do it. Well, no, and that's the sad part of it, because when we do whatever we want, then we always get the blowback from it. It's sad. I mean, it really is.
There's also, too, at Health News with the FDA. Listen to this now. Top vaccine regulator returns back to the FDA 2 weeks after he was fired. I don't know. This is interesting. I just saw this earlier here now. This says Dr. Vinay Prasad is returning to his job at the FDA top vaccine regulator less than 2 weeks after he stepped down amid pressure. Prasad will lead the Center for Biological Evaluation and Research at the FDA's request. Now, what's interesting about this, Prasad's rehiring is facing stark criticism, suggesting that U.S. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. remains influential in the White House. The New York Times reported Kennedy and Marquet defended Prasad against mounting attacks in the days before his resignation. Marquet told reporters August 4th that he's working to persuade Prasad to return back to the agency. Prasad did not comment publicly on the resignation, but a spokesperson said Prasad did not want to be a distraction to the FDA or the Trump administration.
Read this right here. Prasad resigned on July 29 among controversy over his decision to pull a drug, a profitable gene therapy for muscular dystrophy, from the market following the deaths of three clinical trial participants. So he turned against the drug companies and pulled this drug off the market.
All of a sudden, they told him he had to resign.
Then he became a lightning rod, and so he stepped away. So he's got apparently he's not a meow boy.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting
from this article, and I read it earlier. And so essentially, he pretty much provoked the FDA and pulled this stuff down. I mean, three deaths in the clinical trials you got to start addressing that at that point. If you're just in the first phase or second phase of trials, people start dropping dead, not in the placebo group, you got to go, well, does this drug really need to get approved? And so I guess apparently Arthur Kennedy Jr. has been trying to get him back in there, and he's coming back now. So I think there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes with RFK Jr. I think he's in a massive fight with a lot of these guys that are trying to continue.
It's all about the money.
Well, pharmaceutical industrial complex. Yeah. These guys like their money.
Oh, by the way, in Tallahassee, a Democrat, we used to call it the mullet wrapper when I was in Tallahassee, unbelievably liberal rag, is mad because the Hillsborough County Schools have removed an LGBTQ book under state pressure. The book Transmission, My Quest to a Beard.
What? Mm-hmm. What the title?
Was removed from Hillsborough County Public Schools as of August the 8th. Once again this summer, Hillsborough County removed the book from its library shelves following a reprimand by the Florida education officials for inappropriate conduct because Governor DeSantis has restricted this kind of stuff from being given to kids. And he's absolutely right. When you have a child who's in a transitionary phase from basically being a child and adolescent to a pubescent person and going through puberty, at that point in time, that child gets very confused about a lot of stuff really, really fast. And that's why suicide goes through the roof, and they put these kids, you know, on different types of drugs, which cause increased risks of suicidal behavior. That's why Prozac had to put a black label box on it, warning people not to give it to adolescents because they could kill themselves. So when you start telling them that it's okay to be a guy, it's okay to be a girl, it's okay to do anything you want to do, it gets confusing to them, and it grooms them. That's why a lot of people call Disney the child grooming syndicate because of what they've done. And so the reality is that the churches and the schools need to step up to the pump on this, and I'm glad the schools are pulling this off, and the churches need to start calling it out from the pulpit.
They really do. You're accurate about that.
Because they don't do it.
Because I've been very disappointed. A lot of churches won't touch this topic because they don't want it. Because a lot of times, you remember, a lot of these churches have a lot of individuals with the school board there, and they don't want to step on any toes because they get so much donations from a lot of the school board members and stuff like that in their local churches. The thing about this is there's absolutely zero reason why any young children need to be reading graphic novels about basically homosexual behavior, regular sexual behavior, or anything in between. 6, 7 need to be reading graphic novels about basically homosexual behavior, regular sexual behavior, or anything in between. 6, 7 evolving a certain behavior naturally, organically, in the real natural scheme of things, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old children are not naturally inclined to be grossly over-sexual or sexualized. It doesn't happen that way. They have to be groomed. They have to be taught. They have to be read. They have to be brought that stuff to them. They're not naturally sexual at that age. Mm-hmm. You go through certain phases of your life where you continue to grow. Then you go through puberty. Then you start having sex characteristic hormones. But these young children, especially with single digit, there's zero excuse why these books need to even be available. They need to be brought in the schoolroom or the school or the classroom, period. And that's the arguments we've had with a lot of them. And now a lot of the schools down here in Florida have had enough of it. And then what I love it is the liberals go nuts and they go, oh, You're trying to take our homosexual porn books from the 8-year-olds. You book burners. You're a Nazi. I look at him like, you genuinely think that 8-year-olds need to be reading sexualized books or homosexual books at 8 years old, 9 years old? You generally think that's a healthy thing? Oh, you can't control this. You can't stop what they're reading. Yeah, sure as heck I can. Kids don't need to be reading this. And in my opinion, most of the people in the school system that promote this stuff, they're closet pedophiles. I said it. I'm just being honest with you. Because there's no other legitimate reason why you want to sexualize or talk about your sexual behavior with an 8-year-old. Because you're a stinking pervert if you do.
Or somebody did it to them and they became gay from that.
Well, not even that, though. But then they're wanting to project it on children. If you want to be gay and you're 18 or older and you want to go engage in that behavior, by all means, go do whatever you want to do and enjoy yourself. I really don't care. As long as you don't expose it to my children, my family, that's none of my business. We do in the privacy of your home. But expose this to 8-, 9-year-old kids and say it's our right to expose this to them. You are a stinking closet pedophile, in my opinion. There's only one option for you if you want to continue down that path. And you guys already know what that is.
By the way, which countries in the world pray the most? Because that's what we have to do the most. Did you know Indonesia prays all the time? In fact, 95% of its population. Hmm? Nigeria prays, Malaysia, the Philippines, Brazil, Bangladesh.
Is it discussing
South Africa?
What religion or who they pray
just
to?
Pray in general? Now, the United States is down to only about 44% of the people in the U.S. pray on a regular basis.
Ooh, that's bad.
That's a problem. Chile's down to 41%. Germany's only 16%. And Sweden only has 8% because they're almost all communists. They don't believe in God.
Wow.
That's sad, isn't it?
That's really sad. Sweden, I remember went to Sweden in the 90s. It was a beautiful country.
Yeah.
Beautiful country. Got a really cool set of roller skates there.
You did.
Just rollerblade back then.
Yeah, you did.
It was cool back then. I haven't been there since the 90s. So I have no idea what it is now.
Last time I was there was like 15 years ago, and it was not what it was. The whole demographics have changed because of the immigration, because of
Germany. Well, I've read that. We talked about it. Yes. Yeah,
it's a communist country.
They brought in the migrants from the Middle East. And that was the whole excuse. Oh, we got to bring and disperse them all because we bombed their countries to rebel.
And they did.
And now
they've taken over the demographics. The reality is when you pray, you create a scalar energy field. That scalar energy field allows the fabric of time-space to change.
Now, I've got a question. This is going to be a real question, probably for a later show. You brought this up with praying. Now, ask who they're praying to. They're praying to Muhammad. They're praying to Jesus Christ. Do you think prayers still have a positive impact if they're positive prayers, regardless of who you're praying to?
No.
Okay. So I'm curious.
No, I don't. Now positive confessions will. If you're saying, I'm always at the right place at the right time every time, that's a good positive confession for yourself.
Okay.
But it's not praying. It's just a confession. It's kind of like I've talked about Joel Osteen. He's a great motivational speaker.
Yeah.
You know, he is. And so, you know, when you have positive motivation and you have positive affirmation, it's better than speaking negative about yourself.
Way better.
Way better.
Way better.
But as far as when you're trying to change something, physically change something, and you're not praying through Jesus, who's the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith, the one who built the universe and holds it together,
right?
That's Jesus. What difference does it make? It's not going to make any difference.
Good. I already knew the answer to that, but I want to ask you. But I knew a lot of people had that question.
But the positive affirmations, yes, they make a difference.
Well, anybody can do that.
Yeah,
I don't care where you're from or what you're doing.
Or what faith you are. It doesn't make a difference.
When you wake up in the morning, you got a choice. You're going to be in a pissed off mood all day, or you're going to try to be positive and look at the best things and try to do the best you can. Sometimes everybody has a down day. Sometimes everybody's got days where it's like, this is one of those rough ones. And you got to push through it. You got to grind through it. And you got to use that to try to motivate yourself the best you can. But every day when you wake back up, you got a choice in what you want to do with that day. If you want to be positive, you want to be alive, you want to be thankful, it's your choice. If you want to be negative and bleh all day, it's also your choice. But your attitude and your outlook and your ideology is one of the only things you can continually troll on a daily basis, day to day.
Decades ago, I decided I was going to be happy today.
Yeah.
That's when I became a Christian. Yeah. I can control my attitude. I can't control the outcome. And I sure can't control the traffic on I-4. But I can have a positive attitude about it. I just ignore it. Or I can stay off I-4.
I just want them to come up with flying cars.
Oh, they will. That's why I loved having my airplane for all those years. Because I could fly anywhere I wanted to go at 200 miles an hour.
Too.
It was great. But, you know, I missed my plane. But the reality is that if we all, you know, just pray in aggregate to God through Christ, we can literally change the fabric of space-time. And that's what they're terrified of. And that's what the Tower of Babel was all about. And that's why there's over 2,000 different religions in the world.
Yeah.
And that's what we covered in Angel Wars in depth. Because we want you to know, unless you have Jesus Christ in your middle, in your heart, and you've given your life to him, the prayers that you pray to God just simply don't get answered because you don't have that kind of relationship with God.
Yeah.
I hate to say that, but this is the truth. But the reality, that's why Christians, if they understood the power they have, remember the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. The same power that brought him back from the dead dwells in you when you become a Christian. As that power is through scalar energy fields that are created because of the relationship that we have with God Almighty, and through the blood of the Lamb.
It's a fact.
Always remember that. Hey, I love you guys.
Appreciate
you guys all the time. And thanks for your prayers. And thank you for supporting Health Masters. Get your collagen and vitamin C. And
last day on sale, by the way.
Purple Sticks
Vitamin C. I forgot about that. The product of the week, it'll be off sale tomorrow. So be sure if you want to stock up on the powder, try it out.
Can I take the powder to the house now and start using it?
Yes, you can have it now.
Thank you so much. I've been waiting on it. Hey, we love you guys. We'll
have
talk
a good
to you tomorrow.
Evening.